Let me tell you of the days of high adventure.
Hey, I'm Mike.
And I'm Kevin.
And this is 6 Degrees of Schwarzenegger, the podcast where we take a long, hard look at some of your favorite action movies from the era of Arnold.
Schwarzenegger is the icon of the genre, and we're taking a deep dive into some of these 80s and 90s cult action movies and breaking them all the way down.
What's up? Welcome back, everybody.
What's up?
We are doing the fifth and final episode of this badass movie, Conan the Barbarian. 1982, Arnold Schwarzenegger, the man himself.
It didn't make him a star, but it definitely helped.
Didn't it? I feel like this was the one.
It was either Terminator.
This was before Terminator.
But I don't think this was the one that made him a star, though.
Yeah, it was.
I think Terminator probably did, or Predator. I think Predator is the one that made him, international.
Predator, I think, made him, here's my theory. Conan made him a star, and Terminator, really supported that. Predator made him, he took the leap to being, the top action movie guy, and Terminator 2... made him the biggest star in the world.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'd agree.
I feel like this movie, made it where, oh, this dude Conan, that muscle guy who's just, known for being a bodybuilder,
He can act.
He can make an entertaining movie.
Yeah, he can. We can work.
And then,
with this
guy. Terminator really cemented that.
I go with that. Although, I feel like he did less stuff in Terminator than he did in Conan. He did more stuff in Conan, as far as, just movement and acting.
Yeah,
and
he definitely had more dialogue in this.
Yeah, than he ever did in Terminator. But
this has to be the movie though that people are like, he's a movie star. But he can do movies.
So if you think if you say to rando guy on the street, hey, name me 4 Arnold Schwarzenegger movies, you think Conan's one of the ones that comes up?
Ooh.
So definitely,
it probably is not on my Mount Rushmore.
Definitely Terminator and Terminator 2.
Right. And I would say Predator and Total Recall. But this is right there. True Lies.
It's Commando.
Yeah.
It's right in that area.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't even know if people know True Lies, to be honest with you.
Oh, man, they should.
Oh, that's a great movie, yeah.
They should. All right, we got a movie to talk about, I guess.
Yeah.
So this section opens. Valeria has died, and they burned her body up. And now they've got the princess.
Mm-hmm.
Tied up to almost where you would imagine someone doing a sacrifice. She's at the top of a pyramid or on top of a rock.
Well, it's bait. She's bait.
Exactly. They're sitting there waiting for Tulsa Doom and his goons to come.
They're not even trying to run anymore. They're just mm-hmm. Let's stay and fight.
They've got her kind of stripped down as well.
Is that not what she was wearing?
It might have been, but I'm kind of
did she have a?
Aren't these guys supposed to be the good guys?
Yeah, but they didn't bring her outfit for her to change in.
But they were supposed to bring her back to the king alive.
Yeah, but all that's kind of thrown out the window once Tulsa Doom killed Valeria. So now it's you gotta at some point stand and fight.
Thing was, also though, she was kind of annoying. She's talking shit to Conan.
Yeah.
She's saying, they're going to come and they're going to kill you guys. Yeah. You don't have anything for Tulsa Doom or whatever.
Makes me think that she was brainwashed.
Brainwashed, or you mean she was happy to be part of it?
She was. Either or. It's such a.
But I mean,
tough,
I'm saying it's a fine line, right?
And we'll have to answer that question towards the end of this.
Yeah, she seems to flip again.
Yeah, she flips.
But I think, she's definitely still she's still brainwashed. If nothing else.
Yeah, what was that movie? James Bond, Never Say Never Again. At the very beginning of the movie,
I hate that one.
You don't like that movie?
That was the last one with Connery.
It was, but it wasn't even
a remake of Thunderball.
It was, and it wasn't even it's an unofficial James Bond
movie.
Yeah,
it's not even real. That's why I thought it was just cheesy.
But what it reminds me of is, at the very beginning where he's going through all that training, mm-hmm. and then he, at the very end, saves the girl, and then she reaches under the pillow or whatever, and she stabs him.
Uh-huh.
This is what that princess reminds me of, that character. Totally brainwashed, totally like, what's the word? What's the phrase? When you have been kidnapped by somebody.
What's
that phrase?
Hold on.
Stockholm Syndrome?
Yes.
Yeah, she's got Stockholm Syndrome.
She, like, sympathizes with her kidnappers.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, she was living pretty lush.
I mean, she was... But then again,
she was a princess before, so she was probably living lush with the king as well.
So, Thulsa Doom, is that... Not Thulsa the person, but whatever that is, that's a religion, correct?
The snake cult.
Yeah, the snake cult. That's a religion. Or is it a cult?
It's a cult.
It's the same thing. Cult and religion are really...
Back then, yeah.
It can be really similar, right?
When you're worshiping someone who's still alive, I think it's a cult.
Okay, all right. So, it was a cult, right? And so she's worshiping this guy. Because I never see any of the benefits that she gets, because she's already a princess, right? So she didn't want for anything. Like, she, let's just say she wanted to have an orgy. She's a princess. She could have had an orgy, right? So she was really down with whatever. I think he just had, Thulsa Doom has some kind of hypnotic spell over all these people.
Yeah, like, everyone who was close to him,
Hypnotic spell he had over all these people.
Which is in history. I mean, that's the thing. Like, real life, like, guys who run cults, the friggin' Branch Davidians and David Koresh, Jonestown. Yeah, like, this is real.
Yeah. But his was, like, theirs was more charisma. His was charisma plus magic.
Yeah, he was, like, legit. I mean, he could turn into a snake.
Yeah, right? And he could legit hypnotize people.
So I can see why people are like, this guy must be a god, because he can turn into a snake.
Yeah. I'd be like, okay.
I can't knock that.
I'd be like, I'm convinced.
I can't doubt that.
Like, you tell me you can turn into a snake and then you actually turn into a snake? I'm like, all right. I might follow you.
So now we got Conan and Subutai are like building booby traps.
Yeah.
And all this. It's kind of like Predator.
Well, it's like a lot of movies,
I guess. It's like Home Alone.
Yeah, it's like very Home Alone. A lot of Arnold movies where he has that one little scene where he's totally prepping himself for the final battle. Like, he's putting his swords in his everything. Yeah.
And he starts talking to Crom.
Yeah.
This is like, for me, I feel like in the whole movie, this is only really his second, like, extended scene of dialogue.
Yeah.
Like, where he's saying more than just a few words. Mm-hmm. He's like talking about, you know, Crom. No one's going to remember later who was the good guys or who was the bad guys. It's just going to be that two people stood against many, and, you know, all this type of stuff.
Yeah, so I've never understood his relationship with Crom, because he worships Crom a lot, but he's also like, Crom, fuck off if you don't help me.
Uh-huh.
You know, he does that like two or three times in this movie, where he's like, I worship you, Crom, I believe in you, but if you don't help me, then to hell with you, right? And he does that at least twice in this movie, if not three times.
I mean, I think he's not a particularly, like, he actually says, I think in his speech, like, I've never prayed to you before, like, I'm not that guy.
Which is not true, because he prayed to him earlier, but...
He's just saying, like, I don't have the mind for whatever, I guess. Maybe it's like, he doesn't really have the mind to be submissive to any body, any god. Like, he's his own... man.
Yeah.
Top to bottom.
I get that, and I get that's what they were going for, but to me it's like I can't keep praying to God and then telling God to fuck off, you know? Like,
yeah.
Like, that makes no sense. Like, at some point you're just like, I'm not saying he should have been agnostic, but you know, it's just weird to me that he kept referencing Crom and then always telling Crom, like, if you don't help me, then I don't need your help. Like, that's kind of like almost like religious reverse psychology. Like, he's always like, ah, I don't need you, Crom.
Like,
please help me, you know?
I can see that. Yeah. I can see that. All I could think during this whole section is, like, man, it's taking Thulsa and them like a minute to chase them down. Like, they've got time to build all these traps and everything. Like, if they had just rode right out after them, they probably could have. You know, so could have overwhelmed them.
Do you think they were, like, back at the temple, like, sweeping the floors?
I guess so. Or, like, rounding up who's still alive, posse. Like, get them all weapons and let's ride out.
Because they didn't go very far, right?
No, it was, like, a day's ride, something like that, at the most.
Yeah, I guess they could have taken... they could have, like, chased them directly after he shot the arrow.
Yeah.
I mean,
I guess they did have to regroup a little bit.
But I guess maybe there was just the three of them. Like, there was only Thulsa Doom and his two.
They had to,
like,
they might have had to get some dudes from one of the other temples or Snake Tower or whatever. Yeah,
guys.
Brainwash some new dudes.
Yeah, they had to go wake up everybody from their orgy.
But so finally the bad guys are showing up. Like, and they're not trying to sneak up or anything like that. They're just like riding in. They got their sigils flying, the snake pendant, like the snake symbol or whatever they got.
Yeah, I think one of the cool things about this whole world is you really can't sneak up on people. Like, there's these, like, it was almost filmed in a desert, right? Yeah. Like, you can see people coming. Like, you can see that.
Like, doom. A mile off.
Yeah, like, you see, like, you know, like, and does that add tension to the...
I think
it's not
does.
Like they can sneak up on you from, like, a mountain. Like, you see them coming after you a
it
mile
away.
It's
pretty good. I mean, in a movie like this, like, you like to have that big build-up before the battle. Like, you think of movies like Lord of the Rings or The Two Towers or whatever, Braveheart. Like, it's never just like, oh, surprise battle. It's like, you need that build-up.
I've always wondered, like, as a director, So you write the movie, like, I guess Oliver Stone wrote this, right?
Yeah.
So you write the movie, and then you get a director, and are they like, well, I really want to build tension, so let's find a location that I can see people a mile away, or do they get the location and they just get lucky and incorporate the distance into the movie? Like, came first, the chicken or the
egg?
It's
like movie magic, where they could, if they found this rock formations that they really liked, but they could still film them riding across a plane, you know, and sort of cut it together, make it make sense. But
like, they're on set and they're like,
I think they like it. I think Milius got exactly what he wanted with this. Well, you see him riding up. It's reminiscent of the open of the movie when they're riding up on Conan's village when he was a little boy.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, it's like, he does a lot of like shots like this where you can see the danger in the distance.
They don't really wait. There's not like a moment where there's a standoff or anything. They just, like, ride right in and the battle's on.
Yeah, yeah.
Conan's just, like, taking people out with his big-ass axe.
It's all the battle droids.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Taking out all the no-names, right?
Yeah, it's all the battle droids.
Subutai is, like, spearing dudes. There's some pretty great stunt work on this. Like, guys flying off horses and rolling horses down into those, like, the punji sticks or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, the spears they had set up.
Yeah, and, like, these are, again, like, the 80s stunts, right? So a guy pulls, like, falls off a horse, like, right in front of another actor, right? Uh-huh. They could have gone wrong in so many different ways.
But it is exactly like you say, like, as they were riding up, you had Thulsa, Thorgrim, and Rexor up front. But then when the battle pops off, they're, like, laying back.
Yeah, they're like, hey, go on, minions.
Exactly.
Yeah. Why does the bad guy... Would it be interesting if they ever have a movie where the bad guy attacks first? Like, so we just saw Avengers Endgame, and I feel like Thanos attacks first a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And then he brings his
the bad guy in. Should be the aggressor. Or you mean the main bad guy?
The main bad guy.
Yeah, that's
boss.
A good shout. That's a good
like,
call.
Like, he always is the last one. But you never really see...
Yeah, they're always laying back in the cut.
They're always... Yeah. And they always there's always like three tiers, right? There's always like the minions, uh-huh. right? The no names, whatever. And then there's like the second guys, like the Rexors and
to your exact point, like when we did Big Trouble, you had the bad gang guys, and then the Three Storms, and then
It's always in threes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So and
that's a good call.
Yeah, there's can be like a little like in this movie, like you have your minions. But then after they get cut through all them, there's a couple of minions that have some specialty deaths,
that's kind
I guess.
Of, yeah, when you mention it, I mean, that's kind of a tired movie trope. Like, you know, it'd be fresh to see the main bad guy just coming in busting heads.
Yeah, and then maybe his minions, like... Well, not... Like, maybe not his minions, but, like, his secondary bad guys. Like, James Bond is notorious for that, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's always got, like, the minions and then the secondary bad guy and then the big boss, right? But it'd be cool to see the big boss fight first, you know?
Yeah. And so then, like, somebody's... That's the thing is, like, why are they sitting back waiting? Like, wouldn't they have the best chance of winning if they all came at once?
You think? Oh, well, then we get into karate movies, right? Why nobody attacks.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Like, Subutai is picking guys off with his bow and arrow.
Yeah. And a spear, which...
Yeah.
He kills several dudes with
one. Yeah, it's
like,
pretty dope.
I get... Conan, because he's cutting down dudes with a battle axe, right?
Uh-huh.
But Subutai is basically spearing people to death, which...
I swear Subutai throws a handful of sand into the eyes of a horse.
Probably,
in this fight. Like,
probably, probably.
That's some dirty-ass fight right
again,
there.
It's all about survival, man. Nobody fights fair, right?
But these are really good stunts, like, on this whole thing where the guys are rolling off horses and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't... See, they don't make a whole lot of movies anymore where it's like real stunt work like that.
It's probably way too dangerous, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
and dangerous for animals, you think? I mean,
they're like here in Georgia, I guess it was like last year, there was a stuntman that was killed at Walking Dead, and that was such an uproar, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sure that, like, back then, there was no, like,
well, okay, if you're having dudes risk their life for, like, no necessary reason, really, I mean, yeah. Even the wizard, I think, gets in on the fighting a little bit.
Yeah, he does.
Doesn't he?
He kills... So somebody attacks Subutai, and the wizard kind of jumps out of nowhere and then spears that guy in the back and kills him. But then it's, like, such a weird, like, very weird, like, comic moment in the movie where the wizard's, like, laying on his back on the ground.
He's like a turtle.
He's like a turtle, yeah. He's, like, trying to roll over like a turtle. It's like, why would you insert that comical scene in this very serious moment?
Good for this guy for living as long as he's lived, and it seemed like he's never really been in a fight before. Like, in this world, I imagine that's like an accomplishment.
Well, did he ever have to? Like, he's a wizard.
I guess not. Yeah, he's not a warrior.
Yeah.
So now you got sort of Conan is, like, I guess the wizard and Subutai are taking care of the minions, and you got Conan who's fighting Rexxar and Thorgrim.
Which one's Thorgrim again?
Thorgrim is Sven Ole Thorsen.
Okay.
And Rexxar is Ben Davidson.
So he's like the second of the secondary bad guys, Thorgrim.
Yeah, right. He was the one who didn't really ever get to talk.
Yeah.
But he just sort of had the comic relief moments almost.
Although he has a badass death scene.
Yeah.
He has a badass
And really, death he scene. Had the upper hand on Conan. He, like, whacked him with his big-ass hammer that he was swinging around.
How that didn't break his, like, complete shoulder out, I'll never know.
There's a great, like, horse crash where Conan takes down Thorgrim's horse.
Yeah.
Thorgrim, like, basically ends up killing himself.
Yeah.
Almost. Like, he triggers that big-ass spike.
Yeah.
That swings around and just impales him.
Yeah.
Oh, and there was a great moment, wasn't there? When Conan came and looked at him?
Yeah. Kind of, like, looks him over, and I think Thorgrim kind of reaches out to him, and, like, and he just, like, ugh.
Conan, he almost, like, has a curious look on his face. Mm-hmm. Like, I imagine his, like, looking at him, and he's kind of like, oh, what's it like to be dying?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, I wouldn't know.
It's like, it's a really weird personal, you would think he'd have had that with Thulsa Doom. But it's a really weird, like, personal moment he has with
It's pretty Thorgrim. Savage, too, the way he's just, like, looking at him, like, oh, yeah, you're dying. How's that feel?
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, so, to me, like, I think the best death scene I've ever seen was from the movie Dread, where Mama, like, takes the slow-mo, and then they chuck her off, like, the 105th floor, and she crashes into the... So, to me, that's the best death scene I've ever seen, right?
Okay.
This one right here is, like, number two.
Yeah.
Like, and I think, like, I would never say that Sven Thor Olsen was, like, a great actor or anything like that, but he just nails this death scene, man. Like, it's
the look on his face.
The look on his face is real, just like, it looks real. Like, I thought he really died, you know?
Meanwhile, like, Subutai gets speared in the leg. He's hobbled, I guess. He's still able to fight a little bit, but he's not really able to help Conan too much anymore. So it's kind of like Conan's almost on his own now.
Yeah, but...
So now it's down to Conan and Rexxar, which we've kind of been waiting on this for a minute, because clearly Rexxar's like the biggest and baddest.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a giant, you know, he's tall as hell. And this is where the ghost of Valeria shows up.
Yeah, like we said earlier, like, she foreshadows the hell out of this scene. She's like, I will come back and save you even when I'm dead. And
because, yeah, Rexxar's beating him.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's, like, he's going to swing the death blow, and, like,
he's got the high ground.
Valeria, like, physically stops his sword.
Yeah.
So it's not even just, like, a hallucination or a vision. It's, like, she's physically there.
Yeah. And then, so it looks like she swipes his eyes with her sword. Well,
she's, like, really shining, right? She looks like a real Valkyrie.
Yeah, yeah.
In that moment, like, she looks like a Viking with her shining armor and everything like that.
And so then she says to Conan, she's like, well, do you want to live forever? Kind of in, like, a ha-ha way, you know?
And then she vanishes.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, she was looking good, too, when she came back.
So she was so blurry, I didn't really get a good look, and it's so quick.
Lovely.
Okay.
But do we think she was physically there?
No, ghost. Total ghost.
So, but she stopped his sword.
Ghost powers.
Ghost powers. Okay, yeah. Fair.
Like,
fair
if, like in the movie Ghost, like how she, like he put that penny up on the door.
You're true.
Ghost powers.
Basically, that gives Conan the upper hand, though, when he comes and he kills Rexxar. He, like, hacks him up pretty good.
Yeah, he does.
I mean, this movie's definitely not afraid of showing some blood.
No. Yeah. I don't think it's... It is 80, so I think if you did that movie today... I mean, it was obviously really bloody movie for its time, but, like, if you fast forward, like, even into, like, the 90s, maybe, mm-hmm. then, like, those same scenes, you would have had, like, him cutting somebody and, like... You've seen like a deep gash in his shoulder,
yeah.
or you would have cut somebody and his guts spilled out. Like it would have been like this over the top gratuitous. Like
I feel like yeah, I feel like that effects were easy to do. They probably would have had him in this too.
Yeah,
like,
probably.
I think John Milius liked the gore.
Yeah, he definitely liked the blood. Yeah.
Now this is where Thulsa Doom, like from a distance, he takes another snake arrow, and he's like going to try to shoot. The princess.
Why?
That's such a punk ass move, isn't it?
Why? Why does he do that? Why?
It's like, if I can't have her, no one will. But yeah, why not shoot at Conan?
But thank you. Like, why?
It's a weird move.
Why did he kill her? Like, why was he trying to kill her? Like, he obviously came after her, right? And I get the whole like, if I can't have you, then nobody can thing. But that just doesn't make sense in this movie. Like, he could have had anybody he wanted. So why did he try to kill her? Like, what was the point?
And what happens? Subutai jumps in and shields her with the shield. He catches the arrow.
Which is weird, because didn't Subutai just get stabbed in the leg? So he shouldn't have never been able to hobble up there.
He's just barely able to save the day.
Yeah, he just jumps up and
I'll tell you, with that money on the line from the king, he was like, willing to do anything. I
don't. At a certain point, it's not about money for those guys, right? It's about like honor and just a good fight, you know.
And so getting back to where Conan was at, like that sword that Rexor had been using the whole movie, that was Conan's dad's sword.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it had been broken in the fight.
Yeah.
But Conan takes that piece, like he takes the sword back. Yeah, it was the one that is. From the opening credits.
Oh,
of
he
the
had
movie.
That sword that whole time?
Yeah, from the time, I guess, that his mom got killed with that sword, then Rexor's had that sword
so
for
you,
the past, you know, 20 years or whatever.
You know that just because you know that?
Yeah, no, I know it because it's the same design. It's like a, you know, it's a bull or a skull.
Yeah, because I feel like that's not like a...
Nah, they don't like make a big deal out of it.
It's not a big deal. Like, it's not like there was a scene early on where he saw... him with carrying that sword. He's like, oh, I gotta get that sword back, you know?
Like, there was one moment where he said he wanted to get his dad's sword back, but they never make a big deal out of it.
Yeah, it's not like a plot, or it's not like a storyline.
Exactly. Conan is our triumphant hero. Yeah, I feel like he does almost like a muscle man pose.
Yeah, probably.
Like, in this moment.
Yeah.
The sort of pose and bow. Like,
is this where he does a crossover?
Yeah, he crosses arms and bows his head, but he's like a strongman pose, kind of like it was the big hero moment. Right?
Yeah, there, again, he's paying homage to Crom, which he doesn't need his help, obviously.
So,
weird.
But meanwhile, like Thulsa, like a punk, has run back to his temple and he's whatever. It's a big ceremony going on. He's anointing.
He's basically recruiting new people.
He's like
getting
and rebuilding the cult, I guess, like that. I mean, I would have thought that like taking a big L like that would have turned people off, but whatever. It seems like they're down.
You know, it almost felt like he was recruiting all of his people to go after the big, big fight now. Like they've had like the fight where they came to the Ordi, right? They had that fight. They had the fight in the grounds, right? They had that one. And now Thulsa Doom was like, look, this is war, right? I'm getting everybody in here and we're going to go after these two guys and we're going to kill them. But Conan comes to him first.
Yeah, and the princess is helping Conan.
If she was really brainwashed, how did she flip so quick?
I'm thinking like the moment he tried to kill her sort of snapped her out of it.
So that is what makes me think that she was a willing participant more than she was brainwashed. Because I feel like if she was literally brainwashed, she still wouldn't have flipped. She would have still been like, you know, he just did this because he needed to. And I'm still like, she would have been kicking and screaming all the way back to her daddy, you know?
It's one of those mysteries, like, I guess we'll never know. But it's like, it's a little bit. What's convenient.
I get that get a little nitpicky over this stuff, but like when you really sit down and think about it, it's like, well, that doesn't make any sense.
Now, the fact that she's just like back now, like you would think that would make all the guards and everything be like, holy shit, the princess is back. But they're just kind of like, oh, hey.
Yeah, well, she's like,
you know, she's helping Conan sneak in there.
Yeah, she's like, oh, I'm just here. I'm just going to the kitchen to get a sandwich. And, like, meanwhile, Conan comes back behind everybody and cuts her throat.
And, like, Thulsa's talking all types of shit. Like, whatever, we're going to cleanse the earth and burn our way to paradise and whatever.
This dude's about to go to war.
Conan's like, so he snuck his way through, you know, with the distraction from the princess, slicing throats and all that. He sneaks up right behind Thulsa up on the altar, and Thulsa turns around and like starts to put that brainwash on him.
Yeah, he's like, this is where he's like, I basically made you, like.
Yeah, he's like calling him my child or my son or whatever.
Like, he's trying to hypnotize him again. And I don't know what
he says, like, you're not going to have anything left to live for if you kill me.
Yeah.
It seems to be working for a minute,
right?
It
is, yeah. And I have no idea what snaps him out of it, what snaps Conan out of it, but he snaps out of it.
Thulsa, to me, like, Thulsa is really, like, believing his own hype if he thinks Conan's not about to kill him.
Yeah.
But it is a moment of weakness where it seems like Conan starts working a little bit. Yeah. Then Conan, yeah, like you say, he snapped out and just straight... chops his head off.
Yeah.
With his dad's sword.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty brutal. Actually, it's a really brutal. Like, usually when you see, like, somebody beheaded,
it's like one swipe.
It's like one swipe, head comes right off, right? But this one, he's like, it's like two or three blows, right? Yeah. Like, he chops his head off, right?
Yeah,
it's
hits very, him from both sides.
Yeah, it's a very violent beheading. Like, one of the most violent beheadings I've seen on film.
Mm-hmm. And I never really noticed, like, before this most recent watch that he was doing it with the broken sword, his dad's sword. That's like poetic justice, you know, and all that. Like, finally getting that closure or that revenge or whatever for his parents and all. But man, yeah, it's just very bloody. It would be in real life, I guess.
Again, like, I think when you think of beheadings, especially when you think of them in movies, you think it's just like one clean swipe and it's off. But no, this is like, he takes several whacks at his head to cut it off. It's kind of gross. It's kind of, if you think about it, it's kind of gross.
So, like, yeah, no, it's definitely gross. Yeah. And when that happens, like, panic sort of starts to take over amongst all the followers. And Conan takes the head and he chucks it down the stairs, which is, like, also just the visual of the head just rolling down the stairs.
And the sound effects of it, like, clunking down the, it sounds like a melon, like...
That's probably what they used, right?
Clunking down the steps.
But, yeah, in that moment, like, it seemed like the cult just sort of loses interest. Like,
they're just like, we're done.
Oh, he's gone now? Cool, we're just going to go back where we came from.
As if, like, they had no interest whatsoever. Like, none of them, like, raise up to fight him or anything.
Nah, they're not a ride or die like that.
Yeah, it's like, they're just like,
I wonder, is the spell kind of broken when Thulsa's dead? It's
got to be. If his spell is that strong to, like, have a hold over all these people, then why wasn't he strong enough to have a hold over Conan?
Yeah. Conan, like, he seems content to just let them all go their separate ways. Like, he's not trying to take over or anything like that.
So his cult just, like, because he's got, like, satellite cults everywhere else, right? Does it instantaneously dissolve?
I think word trickles down that Thulsa's dead.
So it's just that main temple is what goes first, right? But then, like, that temple with the snake where they stole the diamond from, does that dissolve also? Like,
yeah.
Immediately?
Don't you think probably, like, Nazis, like, they're like, once you lost, then it's
like... Yeah, but there's Nazis today.
I imagine they're like, oh, yeah, no, we're not members of that. Like, we are never part of that. That's how I imagine. Like, once the snake cult got killed off, then everyone's like, no, I was never a member of that. What snake cult?
Yeah.
It's like that.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know. But Conan sets the temple on fire, right? And now, the temple was made out of all stone. Like burning up in a giant
How
place.
Does it catch on fire?
I don't know. That's a mystery.
Again, movie for movie's sake, right?
Now, then, so Conan and the princess, they head on out. Like, is he... I guess he's... Did you ever sense, like, romance between the two of them?
Which is weird.
Well, Conan does seem like he's hooked up with every woman that he's sort of encountered.
But why would they make, like, a love interest between the princess and Conan? Like, out of literally the last scene of the film. Like, there's, like one other scene after this.
He's
like a James
Bond type where he's always got to have a girl at the end or something.
But not once they have any kind of, like, romantic anything. Like,
and if anything, I mean, he's seen her, like, be sort of, like... a bad guy.
Shitty to them, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
But do we think they hooked up? Yeah.
I don't. No. But I also think that scene that you're talking about was added to the new edition. Like, I think they...
Oh, it wasn't in the theatrical?
I think they re-released the on the DVD or the Blu-ray. They re-released it, and they added some deleted scenes. Because that scene really always sticks out to me.
You know what else? I can see why they cut it out, because there was, like, another deleted scene where the king got killed. So it would have been like, okay, he's taking her back to the king, but the king's dead now, so they're not getting paid anyway or whatever. Like, you almost don't need it because it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that was one of those added scenes, which I don't know. Like, it makes no sense. Like, I think they just added it to be like, hey, this is something we feel. Because it just looks weird. Like, it looks very CGI.
Yeah.
It just looks odd, you know? It's like, like they did something to that scene.
Yeah, I definitely feel like it was like an afterthought.
Yeah, it was. They totally added up.
And now we got Conan with a big beard, and he's on a throne. But he's seen, like, and Mako's doing voiceover. He says he's returned the princess, and his companions have sought out more adventures. But then he, like, eventually became a king. But, you know, like, to me, it doesn't seem like Conan's happy.
Not, yeah, like, he's...
Doesn't he seem like he's, like, unhappy got in a lot this? Of,
like, he's not made to be a king. Like, some people just aren't. They just don't have that in him.
People, like, depending on him or whatever.
Yeah, like, he's not, like, a politician, which I think a king probably has
like,
to be.
It seems like it was almost against his will that he, like, agreed to be king or something like this.
So. I can see him having a lot of followers, but I can't see him being king. Like, I don't think... I don't even know if that was what his ultimate goal was.
I don't think so. I don't think he was ever seeking that. I think he just wanted revenge.
He seems like the kind of hero that stumbles into a lot of stuff.
Like, goes from adventure to adventure, right? Yeah. Like, freewheeling. And there's that classic, like, movie cliche where he's like, oh, but that's another story. Yeah, you know, like, all the stories of him as king.
Yeah. They should have just put a big the end and question mark.
Right.
They ended it like that.
So, I mean, I think when they made it, like, it was intended to be, like, this is going to be the first of a franchise. Mm-hmm. You know, which makes sense.
It was.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. Just two movies, you call that a franchise? And Red Sonja?
Yeah, I would say it's a franchise.
It did sort of spawn the genre.
Yeah.
They've made a lot of these barbarian movies.
Or just Sword and the Sorcerer, I remember that. Yeah. Like, one of my favorites.
Beastmaster,
Dragon Slayer. That was a great movie.
They've made a lot of these.
Yeah, it was...
There was, like, Death Stalker.
Yeah, there was a lot of, like, those kind of, like, sword and sorcery films in the early 80s and 90s. Excalibur.
Yeah. That movie was good.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know if it started the genre, but it definitely was one of the leading movies
This
of it.
Movie sequel, Conan the Destroyer, was, like, really, really bad. I mean... Yeah. I feel like it could just kill the franchise.
So it's almost like you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. Like, they obviously had more money to throw at this film, but it doesn't have that realism that the first movie had. Like, a lot of the sets look fake. A lot of the creature effects.
It was like they were trying to do it on the cheap.
Yeah.
But so, big takeaway for me from this movie is if you're wiping out someone's whole village, don't leave anybody alive if you don't plan for them to come back for revenge.
Yeah.
That's my takeaway. You got any takeaways on this one?
Not as far as, like, themes from the movie. I would just say this is probably one of those hidden gems that a lot of people don't really know about unless you, like, I'm sure Arnold fans know about this movie, but I'm sure just, like, regular folk don't know about this
one.
Isn't
that big, like Terminator or Die Hard or something?
Yeah.
It's still considered a classic. Like,
yeah, it's
one,
not one of the films that you instantaneously think about when you think of Arnold, but having said that, it's one of the films that you have to watch. Like,
especially if you're an Arnold fan.
Yeah, it's a great film. It's a great film. It's got everything you want as a guy. It's got blood and gore. It's got nudity. It's got everything that you want.
Yeah.
It's a good Sunday afternoon flick. Sorry to interrupt, but it's a great, like, it's like an old school epic film too. Like, you don't really see that. They don't do that so well these days. Like, they don't do where they can tell the story of a person from all the way from where he's a kid to literally where he's, like, an old man. Like, and they expand his whole life in this one film. They don't do that well anymore. And this movie does it to the T.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of movies like that, like a Forrest Gump or whatever. But, yeah, there's not a lot.
Or, like, I mean, Star Wars is a good example.
Yeah, where it's like you've really been on a journey.
Yeah, like it's... Yeah, like... Yeah, that's a great... Yeah, that's a great word.
One other cool thing about this was that Arnold had, like, he had stopped doing all the competitive bodybuilding in 1975, but then he got in such, like, good shape training for this movie that he decided he'd go back in, like, and enter in the 1980 Mr. Olympia, because this movie had been, like, kept having delays, and Arnold's sitting around waiting and, like, growing his hair out and all this for it, but he entered in the 1980 Mr. Olympia and won it again, like, after 5 years of retirement.
Wow.
Yeah. Dude, that's why he's the GOAT.
He pulled a Jordan on him.
Yeah, came out of retirement, stomped on him.
Played a little baseball first, and then came back and won the championship.
Yeah, this movie, unbelievable movie.
Yeah,
I mean, great. They don't make them like this anymore, you know, where everything is real, everything is on the screen.
Yeah. I mean, it's a man's man movie. It really is.
It is. Like, Arnold has done some macho movies, hasn't he?
Yeah, and this is up there.
The only one I could see being any more macho than this is probably Predator.
Yeah.
Where it's just, like, such testosterone.
Yeah, that one's over the top.
Yeah, this one's just, like, this is a man doing manly things, what I mean? Like, yeah, but it's... fucking great movie.
Yeah, great. Two thumbs up.
So, oh, yeah. Definitely a classic for a reason. And launched this man's career for a reason.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so that's awesome. Got another one under our belts.
Yeah,
tonight.
Yeah. That was... I love this movie, man. I could talk about it all day.
Yeah, you... So how many times for you think you've seen it?
I'm a little older than you, man. So I've probably got like 10 years of watching it more than you, so I'm a good 25, 30.
Okay, I'm probably like 10 or something like that, but yeah. I think I mentioned probably in an earlier episode, but like one of my first memories as a human being was like my dad sneaking me to let me watch this on TBS or something and being like, don't let your mom know that I let you watch this.
Yeah. So we're both big movie fans. As a parent, we have this podcast. And I have a DVD and a Blu-ray collection, but it's not huge. Like, you would think it'd be huge, but it's not. This is definitely one of the movies that I own. Like, and it made that cut, you know, into my, like, something I have to have on DVD.
My collection is pretty big, but this was definitely, like, a essential edition. Like,
I don't even have any of the Star Wars movies on DVD.
Oh, dude, I got to get my Blu-rays on Star Wars. Yeah, I do have those.
No, if he doesn't release the originals, I just can't do it.
See, that's why I love my DVDs of Star Wars, because, like, as a bonus disc, they have the originals.
No way, really?
Yeah, dude. If you ever want to watch them, you swing by the house. We'll check them out.
Definitely do.
Han shot first. All right. We'll be back again sometime with something else, another one of our favorites.
Absolutely.
And thanks for listening, you guys, and we'll catch you next time.
All right, Conan out.